Turns to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the fields of all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. How can you tell if someone is happy? What do you do when you're full of joy? What do happy people do? Do happy people give things away? Do happy people walk around with a smile constantly on their face? And do happy people never experience difficulty? Or if they do, they always have that sort of fake smile. That, you know, like the fake news, false happiness, fake happiness. Everything is just great. Yes, the world's falling apart all around me, but you know, I'm just so happy. Is that what happy people really do? How would you answer that question? Did you say, or did the thought cross your mind that happy people sing? A happy person is a joy, and a joyful person sings. And don't you find that when people are happy, they sing and make music or even hum? You know, often we hear of people in the shower singing away. It's a wonderful thing to hear someone singing away in the shower because you know that they are joyful and full of happiness. Or you hear your husband in the garage or in the shop and they're whistling a tune, even if it's off tune, because they are content with where they find themselves. Or your wife is singing in the kitchen as she cooks the dinner, makes the breakfast, because she is content with the task that the Lord has given to you. But have you ever found that people can be happy even in the midst of dark providences? There are those, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ around the world who are facing dark providences even now. Having been cast into prisons, being tortured and beaten for Christ, who are happy. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi. Remember what happened to them? They were beaten and cast into the dungeon. And at midnight, what were they doing? Singing. Singing God's praises. You see, happy people are happy not because of what is going on around them, but they are happy or joyful because they know the Lord. And they are confident that he will bring them through. You will see in our text today that God's people are commanded to sing because they understand that God reigns even in the midst of our daily activities, whether that be good or whether that be bad. We're looking at Psalm 96. It's found in the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms itself is divided into five smaller books. And this psalm, Psalm 96, is found in the fourth of those five smaller groupings within the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms are a delight to the people of God. for they give expression to every human emotion imaginable. The Psalms are written by some 8 different authors, and every one of them expresses our dependence upon God and our joy in the Lord. Yes, even a psalm like Psalm 88, which ends in such a depressing note, is a psalm that recognizes that God is in control. These psalms were written as a collection of prayers and songs designed for worship, whether that be private worship or public worship. And Psalm 96 is found in that fourth book, and it is the pinnacle of a grouping of psalms from beginning with Psalm 92 and ending with Psalm 100. These psalms are the kingship psalms, the Yahweh Malak. Malak is the original for king, the Yahweh Malak psalms. The Lord is king. And this psalm, like all the other Yahweh Malak psalms, are designed to have you focus your attention away from the things of the world and put your attention on God, on His rule, and to praise Him and thank Him for it. In Psalm 95 a while ago, you saw that you are to worship God with thanksgiving and not to harden your heart against Him. And by God's grace this morning, I will show you that believers must worship God's majesty, sovereignty, and justice with song. Believers must worship God's majesty, sovereignty, and justice with song. You will see the command to sing, the charge to worship, and the call to rejoice. The command to sing, the charge to worship, and the call to rejoice. First of all, the command to sing. You see, believers must sing of God's salvation, declaring His majesty and beauty and power in song. The psalm begins, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." That word sing is an imperative. What is an imperative? An imperative is a command. You are commanded to sing. This includes times when things are not going well for you, as well as times when you are on top of the world and nothing can go wrong. You are to sing. What is it to sing? To sing is to utter a series of words or sounds in musical tones. We sing and we hear song all around us. You go to like a fair or something like that. Have you ever been to the fair? And you hear the cacophony of noise as you go through the midway, as you got all the games all over the place and there's the songs. And then you turn your attention to the radio, and you've got the music that's on the radio. And even on talk radio, you've got music in the background or music through the advertisements. Song is everywhere. For song allows us to express that our inner feelings, our inner emotions in a way that we find very difficult to express in words. This term sing occurs frequently in the book of Psalms. Just in an English translation, in the New King James, I did a quick search, and the word sing in the English translation occurs 69 times. And there are a number of words, different words that are used for singing. And here, this word sing to the Lord, the term that's used there has the idea of to recount in song, to sing of the actions and activities of the Lord, kind of like a ballad. You know, a ballad tells a story. The psalmist says you are to sing to the Lord. You are to recount His activities. Some of the other terms that are used and translated in our English as sing is one to play an instrument. So you sing along with instruments. And another term that is often used is to shout with joy, give a ringing cry, to rejoice and to exalt. You see, there is in our song this expression of what is within. And the psalmist commands the people of God to sing a new song. that is a fresh song, a song that has just been made and come into being only a short time ago. You saw that in our call to worship, that we are to sing to the Lord. And then in Revelation chapter 5, the angels and the creatures in heaven sing to the Lord a new song, a song concerning the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, there will always be a new song in the heart of the people of God, but it will be a new song about the old story of God's love in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, believers will be singing a new song in heaven for all eternity, and it doesn't become stale, because there is an infinite amount of time for the people of God to begin to learn about our infinite God. There will always be something new some new activity, something new about our God that we can sing about in song and praise. You are commanded to sing to the Lord a new song. You are to sing this song to the Lord. He is the recipient of your praise. He is also the content of your praise, for it is about the Lord that you are to recall in song new songs. And who is to sing to the Lord? Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. This is a universal call to praise. Those who are commanded to praise God in song are not just believers, but all men. Not just all men, all creatures. We saw that in Revelation chapter 5, where it says all the creatures of the earth are singing a new song of praise to the God. Can you imagine that? We hear the birds sing and we think how beautiful. And we know that they're praising God. And yet one day they will praise God for his mighty works and his mighty acts together with you and me. You see, all creatures have a duty and an obligation to sing God's praises. Remember on Palm Sunday when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, the Pharisees said to his disciples, said to Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples, for they're praising you and they shouldn't be doing such a thing." And what was Jesus' response? You remember, Jesus said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would cry out immediately, singing the praises of God. For the king is coming into Jerusalem. The king who is riding on a donkey is going forth to his death, is going forth to accomplish redemption for his people. And the very stones are going to cry out in praise to God because of what Christ is about to do. How much more, brothers and sisters, should you and I praise the Lord? And what is the content of our song? The psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name." And you'll remember that bless, when we use that word blessing, we use it often in three different senses. In the first sense, we think of it in terms of bestowal of good. We bless, God blesses his people. God gives us good. He gives us what we need. Or we think of bestowal of good and we pray, "Lord, will you bless so-and-so?" We pray, "Will you give them good? Will you give them what they need through and in the midst of the circumstances that they face?" But are we able to bestow anything good on God? Can we add anything to God's glory and God's beauty? No, we cannot. And so when we bless God, we declare that God is the source of our special power, that he is the source of everything that we have and everything that we are. And since we can't add anything to God's goodness, we also bless God in the sense that we praise him and we worship him. And that's what the psalmist is calling his people to do. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Declare God as the source of all good that you have received. And praise and worship him. You are to bless the Lord and you are to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. You see, the context of this praise is the context of redemption, of God purchasing his people from their sin, of purchasing them from redemption in Egypt. This psalm has reference, and a good portion of this psalm you will find also in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, where David is has brought the Ark of the Lord into Jerusalem. That ark, you remember, had been taken by Hophni and Phinehas when the Israelites had gone against the Philistines. They had attacked the Philistines and lost. The Philistines captured the ark, set it in the temples of their gods, and were greatly afflicted by the Lord. And so they put that ark on a cart with two cows that had just calved, and watched, are they going to return? Or are they going to come back to their calves that they have just given birth to? And those cows marched, looking back, marched straight towards the land of Israel. And the ark was placed in the houses, and there remained for a long time. And finally, David takes it and brings it back into Jerusalem, into the city of God. And he rejoices greatly in God's salvation. And that's what's here in the back of this, the good news of his salvation, that God has saved his people. He has brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and into the promised land, the land that he had promised to give to Abraham and to his descendants. And notice he says, you are to proclaim the good news. You are to declare the good news. And one of the ways we do that is in song. And the context of the song is his glory and his wonders. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among the people. Again, his glory here and his wonders refer to the mighty, the Ten Commandments, or not the Ten Commandments, the Ten Plagues that the Lord inflicted upon the land of Egypt that they might come out. Taking water out of a rock, making bitter water sweet, providing manna for his people and meat for them to eat in the wilderness, of his coming down and descending upon Mount Sinai and giving the Ten Commandments, of his bringing them crossing through the Red Sea and then crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. These are the glory of God. These are the wonders that God has performed for his people. Brothers and sisters, what are the wonders that God has done for you in your heart and in your life? Is it not that he has freed you from the bondage of sin in Christ Jesus? That he has delivered you from this present evil age? And does he not desire that you declare that to others, that you tell that to others, as the Lord provides opportunity for you to speak? For you see, we are to sing God's praises, not only tell others, but do it in song, in the music that we have one for or one with another. And you see, God has built his church. And it's interesting that as you go around the world, that there are people from every tribe and tongue and nation singing the praises of God. And though you may not understand the language that is being used to sing the songs, you will recognize the music. I've been to a number of places around the world in short-term type mission work, and the names of the songs escape me. But you hear them singing these songs in Chinese, the same songs that we sing in English. They sing them in Japanese and Swahili and every other language that you can imagine. For we are praising our God. And what are the grounds for this singing? The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. You see, the reason that we praise God is because he is great. He is great in his magnitude and in his extent. There is no God like our God. He speaks, and it is done. He says, let there be, and there is. Our God created the world by the word of his power. More than that, our God continues to sustain the world. He continues to uphold it. The earth shakes and trembles, but the Lord has directed that. The rocks come tumbling down, but the Lord guides them to their destination. The bullets are flying, and they miss or hit their target according to the purposes of the Lord. There is nothing that is outside of God's control, for the Lord is great. Are you great? Can you do mighty things? Well, your children might think so. Oh, I can't believe that Dad did this. Or, you know, on the school playground, my dad is stronger than your dad. But what are we? We are weak, imperfect, frail. We don't know everything. We might walk around, or we might desire to walk around full of pomp and pride, and there are many that strut about in noble dress, but are fools in the end, for they do not recognize that our God is great. And he is to be feared above all gods. For the psalmist says, for all the gods of the people are idols. And that word that's translated idols there, really in the original, it says, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless. Worthless idols. It doesn't say idols, really. It just says worthless. All the other gods are worthless. When has Buddha healed anybody? When has Allah shown his love for someone who has broken his commandments? When has any other God come down to earth and stood in your place, received the penalty for sin that you and I deserved? All these other gods are stone, wood, clay, grass, incapable of moving, incapable of listening, of hearing, of seeing, of speaking. All the other gods of the peoples are worthless. What are the gods that those around us are worshiping? What are the gods, do I ask it? What are the gods that we serve? Is it our pocketbook? Is it the things that we have? For you see, anything that we place above the God of Scripture, this great God is a worthless God. Anything that we give our lives to at the expense of anything else is worthless, is useless. We just had the Olympics recently, haven't we? And it's great to see the talent and the gifts that God has given to people. But what have they got in the end? A moment of claim on the podium, a gold or silver or bronze piece, or forever weeping because they did not win. But what does that do them in the end? What happens to the glory and the acclaim? Who won the down, what do they call it, the downhill skiing jump? Do you remember? I don't. For their glory passes away. But the glory of our God is forever. He is to be feared above all gods. That is, he is to be honored and worshipped and adored. And you are to worship him for his character and for his attributes. It says, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his holiness. There is no God who is beautiful like our God. There is no God who is strong like our God. There is no God who is worthy of honor and splendor like our God. Because he is not like us. Any other God is made in our image or in the image of anything on this earth. But he made you and he made me. You are created in his image to glory, to glorify him. Why won't we praise him? Why won't we sing him a new song, even in the midst of our trials and difficulties? You are to sing to the Lord a new song. For believers must worship God's majesty, his sovereignty, and his justice with song. You see, there is a charge to worship. Where does the Lord give us this command to sing? It's within the context of worship. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Once again, you see this universal call to praise God in song. O families of the people. The peoples refer to all men and nations and tribes. You see, the salvation that God purchased is not just for the people of Israel. Salvation is for all who believe and trust in Christ. It is the obligation of all men to bow before him and to give to him glory, to ascribe to him glory, to acknowledge that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. As I said, we cannot add anything to him. But we acknowledge his perfections, his majesty, his splendor, and his beauty. You see, simply because one refuses to believe God doesn't absolve them from their duty and obligation to serve him. You see, we live in a world that says, I don't believe God. I can do whatever I want. God is not great. Therefore, I don't have to bow before him. Therefore, I don't have to sing to him. But they forget one thing. God created all men for his glory. And God will glorify himself even in their desperate attempt to excuse themselves. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? To think that there are many who are on the road to destruction because of their stubborn refusal to worship God. I pray that's not true of any one of us here, that the Lord has called us to worship him, and we want to be in his presence, for we have in a very small way grasped who God is, the majesty of his glory and of his power and of his strength and of his beauty. The Lord by his Spirit has opened our eyes to begin to see it, and we are moved to serve him. The psalmist says, bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. These are the corporate acts of worship. As individuals would bring their sacrifices to the temple, they would offer them up to the Lord as a pleasing aroma in his sight for the forgiveness of sins and the reminder that there is a lamb that is yet to come who will take away the sin of God's people. For indeed, the lamb that was offered up on that altar did not remove our sin, but pointed to Christ, who, when he was lifted up upon the cross, drew all men to himself. Everyone who believes in him has been given eternal life. And you are to worship, to bow down in subjection to him. And how? The New King James says, in the beauty of holiness. In other translations, in the holiness of, or the splendor of holiness. That word there that's translated as beauty in the original has the idea of clothing, of holy array. That is, God's people are called to enter into his presence with holy garments. That is, with holiness, that you are to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ in sanctification. That you cannot come to God covered in your sin. You remember that parable that Jesus describes, where he talks about this feast that the king gives? And men and women are compelled to come in, and they're given these new robes. And the king enters into the banquet hall, and he sees one man who does not have that wedding robe on him. He's not clothed with that righteousness. What does he do? Does God say, here is another robe of righteousness? No. He takes that man out and casts him into the outer darkness. For you see, wickedness and sinfulness and unholiness cannot enter into the presence of an almighty, holy God. Brothers and sisters, as we come into the God's presence, we must plead with him for forgiveness. We must plead that our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus, for we cannot wash them ourselves. This is a call to sanctification, call to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness, a call to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be renewed in the whole man after the image of God. That is the only way, brothers and sisters, that we can truly worship God in song with a new song. And it's what we do as we gather together to worship God each and every Lord's Day as his people. We come acknowledging our sin and our confession of sin and our prayer of confession. We come pleading and being assured by God that our sins are forgiven. And we come to sing God's praises. The psalmist says, "Tremble before the Lord, all the earth." Tremble, the idea of shaking, of coming with fear of the awe and judgment of our God. That we come into worship recognizing that we are in the presence of a holy God. Do you tremble when you come into the presence of our God? Or do you just come in and sit down and we begin our worship service and away we go? Have you really considered what we do as we ascribe to God glory and honor? Does your own sin cause you to weep, cause you to cry out to him? Does your own sin cause you, drive you to Christ? That's why we worship, because we come to Christ to exalt his name, but we do so recognizing our own imperfections, our own weaknesses, and his glory. Tremble, all the earth. Once again, that universal call. And what are the grounds for worshiping? Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Why do we worship God? Because he is king. He is on his throne. And who is to worship? Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. And the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. The whole creation will glorify God. Remember what Paul says in Romans, that the creation is groaning under sin? But there will come a day when the whole creation will no longer groan under sin. That's why we worship God. That's why we sing his praises. For the Lord is coming. For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. You see, this is the cause to rejoice, or the call to rejoice. For the whole world will rejoice at God's just judgment, and he will judge in righteousness according to what is right, not your standard of what is right, not my standard of what is right, his standard of what is right and of what is wrong, because there is none like him, and he will judge in truth. He will not judge according to appearances. There is no deception. We cannot deceive God. There is no plea for ignorance. Oh, I didn't know that you were a holy and righteous God. No, God will judge in truth according to the way that things are. This past week, I came across an article concerning the bus accident in Canada, that a hockey team was killed. I think it was, 14, 16 hockey players were killed in that bus accident. Horrific. Of the 29 that were on the bus. And someone wrote concerning that and said that he was reminded that we don't know if we have tomorrow. He said every one of those young men that were on that bus, teenagers, how many of them knew the Lord? We don't know. Thought that we have tomorrow to make things right with God. We don't. We don't know if we'll have another moment. But God, when he comes, he will judge. There is hope today. And while it is still today, rejoice in God's goodness and in his justice. For make no mistake, God will return to judge. His creation. And all creation will express its praise to God in song. You see, this psalm provides content for our song. But not only this psalm, the entirety of Scripture provides content for our song. For you see, believers must worship God's majesty, sovereignty, and justice with song. All of Scripture is about God, about His being, about His attributes. It is the stuff that our songs are made of. All of Scripture is about His glory, about His exaltedness. All of Scripture is about His honor, that He does what He says He does. All of Scripture is about that greatest act of God's salvation in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day when Christ returns, there will be a new song. For then there will be a song that is sung not in anticipation of the coming salvation, but at the completion of that salvation for all those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, we sing in our worship because God commands us to. For our worship is but a peephole into the worship of heaven. You know, when you look through a door in a little peephole, you just see a little bit of, you just catch a glimpse of what's going on the other side of the door. That's what we are doing in worship each and every time we gather. You're reminded that when we enter into worship, God Himself greets us. When we leave worship, God Himself sends us out with a blessing. And there's a lot that takes place in the middle. But one of those things that we do is that we express to God in song. And so, brothers and sisters, sing God's praises. Sing God's praises with all of your heart. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. Don't worry if you can't keep a tune. It's okay. For God knows that you are rejoicing in Him. And He delights in your praise, whether you've got a perfect pitch or not. Sing to Him of His faithfulness and of His kindness. Sing to Him of His justice and of His mercy. Sing to Him of His grace and His judgment. And we get to do this every Sunday. It's one thing to sing at home alone, but it's another thing to sing God's praises with people of like faith and of like mind. Perhaps you've been to concerts, and I think that's one of the reasons that concerts are so popular, that when people go to concerts, what are they doing? Especially if they know the song, they're singing with them. And they're singing with the whole everybody else that's there. That's what we do in worship. Sing with all of your heart to the Lord. But if there are any here who do not know the Lord, if you do not know the Lord, it will be impossible for you to sing joyfully. Oh, you can sing. You can sing the songs of the world, of unrequited love, of heartache, of anger, of rebellion, of ecstasy. In your songs, you will search for happiness, but you will never, ever find it. For joy, true joy, is found only in Christ. Without Christ, your song will be malodious, a malodious noise. But in Christ, it will be a melodious expression of joy. Let that be your song today. Let that be your song tomorrow of the glories of Christ, of the mercy of God. We don't require all sorts of musical instrumentation. We simply require the full-throated praise of God's people. We use instruments to help us. That's fine and that's great. But it's your song coming from your voice out of the depths of your soul that delights God. Let us sing with our whole heart. Oh, sing to the Lord, O people of God. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Make His salvation known from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the peoples. Praise the Lord.